This is David Coors with Coors Spirits Company, and you're listening to the Bourbon Podcast.
Oh my goodness. This is going to be fun.
This one's crazy because these are, I love both these products.
I do too. We've got Double Barrel.
And carefully handpicked and selected to go each other, not just any release.
Yeah, this was, we debated over this for like all week. Like what do we put up against George T. Stagg? Honestly, Joe, this was your suggestion. Put it up against a Booker.
It's going to surprise no one.
Yeah. Yep. Booker's versus George T. Stagg. So remember, we're not trying to pick which one is which. We're trying to pick which one we prefer. So it's an allocated versus a non-allocated. That's kind of the concept. Now, I know some states, everything's allocated, right? But here you can find Booker. I mean, it's not always on the shelf, but we can get it.
You can get Booker. Yeah, I agree. Booker's is findable. This is like a lot of the ones we've done. Like, it's findable.
And it's also not really jacked up on secondary. Yep. If you find it on secondary, even if they increase the price, it's what, $130, $150?
Yeah. It's not crazy. You should be able to find it, right, for $100.
Yeah. So the idea is we're going to take a highly allocated whiskey, like George T. Stagg. You're not going to find that at MSRP unless you're really lucky, versus something you could probably find at MSRP.
That's right.
So this is it's a complete blind. Thank you, TJ, for pouring the...
Yeah.
pouring
the culinary professional. We should note. Yeah, he hopefully got this done.
As we get better at this, we learn that we actually need two full fingers in each glass. Because last time, if you remember, we kind of all ran out of whiskey and we wanted to know, we needed more to kind of make our determination. And it was like, well, wait a minute, you can't pour it.
All right. So every time we release one of these, we get comments either on social media or emails. We get some emails. Well, that's just dumb. Of course you can pick one versus the other.
Try
that one's 120 proof and the other's 112 proof. Listen, if your palate is that refined that you can pick something that is like 8 points different on proof, then please come sit with us because I wouldn't see it.
And I think generally our proofs and mash bill recipes have all been spot on. Whiskeys have tasted, the bourbons have tasted very, to me, competitive and similar.
Yeah.
Like very similar profiles. They just, so I don't buy that at all. We put a lot of time trying to match two whiskeys that are,
I go back,
they're in the same weight class.
And by we mean Joe.
By Joe, yeah. And us too, chime in. No, I mean, you go back to like sommeliers. If you blindfold them and have two wines at red room temperature, like there's been proven instances where like very high in sommeliers cannot tell the difference between a red and a white wine. I'm not kidding. And people are like, that's crazy. Well, how could you? It's like this. It's like, okay, you do it blind. Well, I want to see how we use
it. It reminds me of the where they have a stockbroker go up against like a monkey. And see which one can pick the best stocks, and the monkey usually wins.
That's like us and drilling wells, right?
So what, we have three monkeys that are going to try to pick which one we like the best.
And we're certainly not trying to confuse each other. I mean, we aren't saying, oh, let's just randomly take a high rye whiskey with a low rye whiskey and just see, where you can really get screwed up. I mean, we really try to match these up. And it goes, and there's only so many, pairs and distilleries that you can successfully do this with.
And if you haven't done this, seriously do it. Like, take one of your upper end whiskeys that's close. I mean, not, you can't do an 80 proof versus a 120, right? But if it's within 10, 15 points,
I agree. If it's within 10 or 15, good luck.
I don't think you're going to be able to pick it based on proof alone. Now, there are certain, if it's a wheat versus, a corn whiskey, you're not going to be able to. That's kind of easier because you can definitely taste the wheat.
Well, and the recommendation I'd have would be if you have one of these allocated, we're doing enough of them now.
Right.
Go and see where we did our pairings, our double barrels. And if you've got one of those bottles on, regardless, open of the release year, then just go out on the shelf and buy the competitor, and then you tell us if you did the same.
I mean, you could probably do it at a bar too, which would be kind of cool. Just ask a bartender, like a, you know, a bar that has whatever open that's, you know, you're going to pay for, but say, hey, pour me, you know, a pour of the Stag and a pour of a Booker's, right?
I mean, let me see if I can guess.
Let me see.
Or let me see which one I like the most, because in several episodes, we've picked the non-allocated whiskey.
Sure. Like the Larceny Barrel Proof, we picked that over the old Rip Van Winkle 10.
Yep. Well, in the Pappy 15, I was convinced I knew which was which, but I genuinely preferred slightly the Makers. That was the one I felt like I could tell.
You know, that Makers cash drink, that first release, 2015, I still have a little bit. I've been just hitting that every couple of days just to remind myself how good it is. And the nose on that is just, I mean, it's almost better with more oxygen in it right now. Yeah. It's a that was a tremendous release. So you were spot on, Cal. There's everything about that pick was excellent.
Yeah, and I'm not much of a Makers guy, but I enjoyed that one.
But
we've got a George T. Stag, and Joe's going to give you the stats on these, but it's a 2018 124.9 proof and a Booker's 2304, which is 100. What is that? I'm trying to do this math on the times 2, 127.8. 7 years too much. Math is not my strong suit.
I mean, if it had been a third,
I'm a lawyer. I can do anything in a third. So, Joe, tell us about these two whiskeys and why did you pair these up?
Well, a lot of the reasons we're pairing up the whiskeys there's a long history with both distilleries and making the products that they're making. They have released those bourbons for years and years, and one is still readily available and the other one is allocated. Who knows why that's the case in some instances, but we picked, let's do a little history on the Booker's, just as a refresher, because we did do a review on 2024 release one. But so for those of you who haven't listened to that yet, just want a quick refresher. 1965, Frederick Booker Noe Jr. Booker Noe, he's the grandson of Jim Beam. He is a sixth generation master distiller at Jim Beam. He becomes the master distiller in 65. And 14 years later, in 1979, he decides that he's going to go to the center of the Rickhouse into areas where you have good conditions for making great bourbon. And he's going to do family and friends type releases. And he does some 15 or 17 batches where he releases them at a really small scale, not for public necessarily consumption. But in 1985, Jim Beam, in trying to target the high-end, bourbon liquor market, they came up with the small batch bourbon series in anticipation that there was going to be a lot of competition hitting the market, and they wanted to preempt that. And so they took their mash bill, their common mash bill, and they created four different bourbon releases eventually by 1988 were released around the country and the world in some cases.
I'm sorry to interrupt you because you're on a roll, but you forget how early this is. Every time we talk about it, in the mid 80s, they figured this out. It's impressive, honestly. All brands that are stalwarts today.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Yeah. 39 years later, and like the small batch boom hit like 4 or 5 years ago. Right. So, I mean, they were like way ahead of their time. So they've been making, for the Knob Creek haters out there or lovers, they came out with the Knob Creek 9 year, which is at 100 proof. And then they want to do a little bit higher, but a little bit, younger, a Baker's 7 at 107 proof. They wanted to do a gentleman's whiskey, really smooth, which would be a Basil Hayden, which is an 8 year, right between, but 80 proof, so very low proof. So the people that actually are the kind of graduating from the Basil Hayden haters, I mean, it's actually technically a very good juice and right year on it at 8 years. And then Booker's was going to be the uncut, unfiltered, somewhere between 120 and 130 proof, generally 6 to 8 years of age. Most releases are 6, some have been 7. So fast forward, 1988, they released Booker's. And from 1988 to 2013, there were 50 batches that were released. And 4 of those were limited. in 2004, Booker passes away, and 2007, his son, Frederick Fredno III, becomes the master distiller. So just he's the great grandson of Jim Beam. 2013, he comes up, Fredno does, with the idea of kind of creating the Booker's Roundtable, which includes some of the more famous, you know, whiskey drinkers and reviewers in the Louisville area and Lexington. And the roundtable basically assists Fredno, and they get together, and they created, under the new labeling series, releases that would do 4 releases per year. In this case, if you go from 2015 to current, there've been 52 batches. So all in all, 102 batches of Booker. So Booker's has a long history of perfecting and making great uncut, unfiltered bourbon. So that is why, in essence, we pick them. All right, Stag, George T. Stag. I tell you, I was surprised by the history there. So a little bit, George T. Stag, if you want to know about George T. Stag, it's not about Buffalo Trace. It's about the man himself. He was born in 1835. He enlisted in the Union Army in 1861 during the Civil War. He became a captain. In 1869, Colonel Edmund Haynes Taylor, E.H. Taylor, as you all would know him, he establishes Old Fashioned Copper Pot Distillery, OFC. I found that fascinating, 1869. In 1870s, a little bit after that, George T. Stag moves to St. Louis, and he actually starts acquiring barrels and selling the whiskey from OFC Distillery. 1878, he purchases OFC Distillery from E.H. Taylor, which I thought was kind of interesting. What he's probably most famous for in some ways, in 1886, he installs the first climate control warehouse for aging whiskey in the entire United States. He renames in 1904 the distillery to the George T. Stag Distillery. In 1921, after he's kind of steps down, he's probably already, you know, passed away maybe at that point, but Albert Blanton becomes president in 1921 of George T. Stag. All these familiar Buffalo Trace names. They sell to Schenley Distillers Corp before eventually being sold to Buffalo Trace in 1992. So Buffalo Trace is claiming their history through the George T. Stag and OFC Distillery. OFC Distillery / George T. Stag history is the Buffalo Trace, you know, their claim of being the oldest consecutive, you know, open whiskey distillery in the U.S. All right, so just a couple of awards for George T. Stag, just if you all don't really know. They were 2023 Master Luxury Masters Asia Award. That's kind of the highest award you can receive in Asia. 2023 Gold American Whiskey Masters. 2023 also Double Gold in New York World and Wine. Whiskey of the Year, Jim Murray's Whiskey Bible in 22. Okay, now George T. Stag itself, it was first released in 2002. And the first release at that time was 137.6 proof. Since then, there have been 22 releases. And not because there have been 22 years, but because there were actually 2 releases in 2005. And then there was not a bottle release during COVID in 2021. Criteria, it's aged no less than 15 years. And the oldest was 16 years and 4 months in 2014. Over the 22 releases, they've had 9 Hazmat releases.
That's crazy. I didn't remember that. I thought there was like 1 or 2.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
There was a string for a while there. And so 9 Hazmats and with a whopping 144.8 in 2007. And I've kind of listed those on that sheet. But okay, so that's the background of the 2 contenders that we're kind of pitting against each other. Both long line, both have like great distillery history, great master distillers. Both were pet projects. This one's actually, you know, Stag is actually named after its, you know, the one person who probably did more for Buffalo Trace than any others associated with it. Okay, the release. Let's talk quick.
We'll be the judge of that.
The Stag. Okay. First of all, let's go to the bookers. Let's do the side by side on the release. So this is 2023, the fourth release. It's released quarterly, as we talked about. The Storyteller's Batch. This is named after Fred's father, who could turn just about anything he talked about into an interesting story. And he loved to tell stories as much as he made bourbon. He'd strike up conversations with strangers, and at the end of it, they'd feel like lifelong friends. And this is a tribute, once again, to his father's storytelling. The 2018 Buffalo Trace is an annual release. This is released as part of the Buffalo Trace Antique Collection. That also includes Eagle Rare 17, Sazerac 18, William Lew Weller, and Thomas Handy. Both of these bourbons were at 125 barrel proof entry, which is the maximum allowed. So very, very similar. There were 284 hand-selected barrels for George T. Stagg. There were probably 300 to 400 bottles, not disclosed, barrels that make up the Booker's. So again, similar, but maybe a few more barrels there. The George T. Stagg came from 5 warehouses and 5 different floors. The Booker's came from 4 different warehouses and really high floor, 6th floor and 5th floor only. Classification, these are both Kentucky straight bourbons, and they are both uncut, unchilled, non-chill filtered. Mash bill recipe. The Booker's is believed to be 75% corn, 13% rye, 12% malted barley, and the Stagg, 78, 10, and 12. So very similar, just about 3% difference. So that's going to be good. George T. Stagg is part of the mash bill number 1 from Buffalo Trace, and that mash bill also includes, you know, Eagle Rare, regular Buffalo Trace, Stagg Jr., etc. They also have like a weeded mash bill number 2, rye whiskey mash bill, etc. All right, age differences. 15 years and 4 months is the George T. Stagg 2018. So it meets that at least 15 years. There have only been 3 batches of the 22 that were actually younger. So there are a number right at this amount, but this wouldn't be deemed to be an older. This would be a little above the threshold, I would call it. Booker's, 7 years and 2 months, 29 days. A lot younger, but it's also since 2015, last 50 batches, this is the 3rd oldest batch that's released today. So pretty old of the last 50. Proof, 124.9. This is the 2nd lowest proof for a George T. Stagg. And for Booker's, this is the highest proof since 2019 at 127.8.
So if you look at them side by side, you're looking at proof is very similar, right? Just a few points off.
Yep.
The mash bill is very similar.
Yep.
Now, George T. Stagg is selected from the lower floors of the warehouse. The Booker's is from the higher floors. And the only real difference between the two then is age.
Yep.
But if it's on the higher floors of the rickhouse, it's hotter. And does that mean that it's going to taste older?
It means it's going to taste hotter, but it could also taste more. It could have a lot of really interesting, complex flavors as a result, you know, of the interaction. It could bring out some more oak. You know, we're going to find out. And let me tell you, just because we picked a younger relative, George T. Stagg, and a lower proof, this one won double gold medal 2018 San Francisco World Spirits Competition, this actual release.
Yeah.
So we really got 2 great competitors here.
Well, you've got a secondary value on the George T. Stagg of $800 to $1,000 bucks, right?
Yep.
And on the Booker's, $150 bucks.
Max. Right.
So we're looking at
MSRP is $99 was the 2018 Stagg, and $90 is the Booker. So like the MSRP is almost the same, but we know the secondary.
Booker's comes with the wooden box and the little card.
Yep.
And you know, Stagg comes with there are 3 in a box, but it comes with the letter
paper.
Yeah.
You get the paper.
And the paper.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting because if someone asked me what's my kind of favorite premium, I would probably say Stagg. But as I've learned, as we've learned on this podcast, like I tend to like stuff that's kind of that 7-8 year range. Yeah. So I'm curious. I love book. I absolutely love Booker's. I always buy Booker's when I see it. I'll often order it somewhere. So I'm super curious to.
Yeah.
So if you look at the collar, so we've got these, and by the way, these are both blind. We have no idea which is in which Glencairn. I don't see much of a difference by way of color, right? They look very, very similar.
Very similar. They both have that like dark amber, you know, copper brown kind of look. Beautiful.
They are different on the nose.
Yeah, I think the nose is great on both.
They are very good.
The nose on one to me really stands out.
Yes. The nose on one has the vanilla and caramel profile.
And I just get more. Really nice. I'm just getting more there.
That reminds me of the makers having that wonderful nose. Yeah, it's interesting that there's not a whole lot of nose on the on number two. And but it also could be that it one of those bottles was opened relatively.
Oh yeah. And so do you think that skews it because the 2018 George T. Stagg has been open for about 6 months and we just cracked the Booker's? Does that change anything?
Good.
Good.
Good. We'll find out.
Right. Number two is not horrible. I will tell you that. Jeez. Joe, do you pay attention to, or Ben, do you pay attention to like the Booker's releases and which are deemed to be, I mean, I just buy whatever whenever I see when I buy it, but I'm not consistently, it's not like I've had every one. I know some people will rank them. Do you pay attention to that or no?
I handpicked this one because I thought this would be a really good one, a little older, a little hotter. And the one when we did the 2014 release 01, you know, that was pretty exciting. Like I've always had a history, like a memory of Booker's being hot sometimes. Like sometimes it's really hit or miss. Like I need an ice cube, but that 14 went down easy. And this one,
you don't want the one we just recently did?
Yes.
2024.
2024 release one. Correct.
I mean, I listened to that episode. Gosh, you would not shut up about it, Ben. I mean, you just kept.
And honestly, Booker's was, I like Booker's, but it wasn't really on my radar as kind of a go-to.
Yeah.
And after that episode, I called my guy and my guy had two more bottles. And so I ran back and grabbed them because it was that good.
I feel the same way about it that I feel about Elijah Craig Barrel Proof. Like if I see it, I'm buying it.
Right.
I just, you know, they may vary a little bit. I agree. Sometimes they're a little hot, but man, I've never had one that I'm like, oh, I don't like this.
Yeah. There've been ones I really like, but, generally speaking, I'm not going to, if I see it on the shelf and I'm traveling, I'm not going to, you know, say I'm not going to get it because of certain relief.
Well, and also, I was telling you guys, I was at a dinner Thursday night where it was priced Booker's by the pour. And I don't remember which one it was. It was like a 22 or 23. It was priced at like 2X Stagg Jr., which is mispriced, that is one of the things I love about, you know, if you have a decent amount of knowledge, anytime I go someplace with a big list, I can always find stuff that's like mispriced low. Right. And I'm like, oh, that's half of what it should be. So it's interesting to me.
We were in New York City and they had a bottle of Pappy 20 at the bar and it was $50 for a 2 ounce pour. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that's so too cheap.
Yeah.
I will say, but where I was trying to go with that is if I see Booker's is a regular order for me, if they've got it on the menu, because it usually is priced. This was actually, I felt like overpriced last week. It was like $45, which is a lot for Booker's.
Yeah.
But usually you'll see it for like $20-$25. Never unhappy with it.
I got to be honest. So I've tasted them both. I don't know which is which.
I think I do.
And I went back and I took a sip of water. One of them is standing out to me more. Like it's more of my speed, my flavor.
Which
profile.
One?
I'm not going to say yet because I'm going to do a third.
So I'm definitely getting more oak on number one. Do you guys agree with that or no?
Yeah, I'm getting like more the cherry, the black, the really black cherries and the oak.
On number one.
On number one, yeah.
They're both incredible.
Yeah, they're both fantastic. I mean, that's what's fun about these. Like it's not like we've done one where we're like, well, this one sucks. I mean, every time we've done a double barrel, it's like, man, these are both really good whiskeys, which is why it's fun. It just then becomes like, okay, which do I prefer?
Yeah, my initial take was that one was a little bit smoother than two. Like the number two to me was like hot out of the gate. And that would lead me to believe, right, that, you know, it's the younger whiskey, but I mean, I've been wrong before, right? Yeah.
But then I went back and took a sip of water and tried them again, and neither one was hot.
Well, that's what, yeah, I would agree, Joe. Not necessarily hot. I just felt like my first sip, number two, was like a little brighter, less oak for sure. I'm curious to keep sipping on them though, because it usually evolves for me. When we're doing this, often my first sip, I feel one way, and then it's like, well, I don't know, kind of.
Well, I mean,
I think you're just trying to drink all my stag.
Right, give me that bottle. Let me try it out of the bottle and see what I think.
Two fingers deep this time. So we've got a lot of, I think that's probably 5 ounces of whiskey here. We'll feel good after this. Good.
Did you guys, I know you've seen it. I saw it today on X. Still call it Twitter. It's like the girl making the old fashioned, and she does, you know, like a squeeze of orange and some bitters, and it's like a highball glass full of ice. And she goes, and then we're going to do three ounces of bourbon, and she fills the glass to the top with bourbon. I mean, it's like 9 ounces of bourbon.
That's my kind of bartender.
I kind of get vanilla and caramel, a little more peanutty flavors on number two. That's kind of where I'm going.
So it's interesting you said, because one of my first real strong memories of Booker's, and it definitely was not the first Booker's I had, but I remember maybe it was a bottle I owned, and it was like straight peanuts.
Yeah.
And I know that's a bean, you know, but to me, it wasn't a bad thing. I was like, oh my gosh.
It's that, some people like to describe it as the funk, the Jim Beam funk.
Do you taste peanuts on two?
Well, just two. I get more funkiness. And the one to me, the first go around.
Did you eat a Snickers on your way over here?
No, I just kind of get weird. Like,
he's good like that, man. You and I are the monkeys.
I don't know.
Sometimes we outpick, you know, the smart money over here, but
the nose is so good on one.
The nose is so good on one.
But they're very different.
Yeah. On the nose.
But honestly, when I taste them, there's not much of a difference. Like the nose is extreme. The taste is not. Now, what would I... Is there a difference when you're talking about a 15-year-old whiskey versus a 7-year-old? What am I looking for on the finish? Would one have a longer finish?
Yeah, you would expect, right? You would expect the older whiskey to have a longer finish. You would expect to get more oak, I think, with a 15-year-old for sure. That's getting up there.
More earthy, earthy tones from it.
I almost think about it, like you get a little more of that. And I felt it this way when we've done the Pappies, like when we did that 15. You get like a little bit more of that, like bitterness is maybe not a fair word, but it's like, yeah, that earthy.
That would be like tobacco or leather.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, like the leather,
which would be the earthy tones, right? Some, I get more of that on the number one.
Same.
You know, but I'm coming back to two, because two at first tasted like hot to me out of the gate. Mm-hmm. My first drink too, though. And now that I'm like coming back to one for the second time, like it's hot. I mean, I say hot, not in a bad way, but
yeah,
they both
yeah.
have like big heat.
Back to our conversation earlier about, you know, can you tell the difference in proof? And obviously these are within a couple points, but to me, like the kind of relative heat is the same. I mean, I'm not getting a big difference.
One's not blowing me away versus the other.
They're both like, yeah, I can tell they're barrel proof whiskeys.
They're both high proof. You can tell.
I'll go out on a limb there, like on number one, that it reminds me of that Pappy 15 pairing we did. It, to me, is a more complete.
It's more complex.
Yeah. It can be a complex or a complete, or it has layers of flavors and finish. So I'm leaning towards like that being my preference, but two's interesting.
Yeah. And that's where I think that's where I sometimes differ from you guys. I think I'm just a simple, simple man.
Do you think that number, like the second one, the one that we have labeled number two, does it taste sweeter? Mm-hmm. Like number one to me, like I say the word complex, but I can't really describe it any.
No, it's
like
sweeter.
I can't tell you what I'm tasting, but number two tastes a little sweet.
Yeah, I describe it as like brighter, but yes, it is. Yes, I agree. It's a little more sweet for sure. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I could. You get more brown sugar and or
brown sugar,
syrupy. What do you want to do on them too? But it's still very nice and rich.
I do not know which is which. I really don't. But I think I know which one I prefer.
That's what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one has just like that, You got to peel through all the oak on one.
That's, yeah, I prefer number one. I don't know what it is, but I prefer number one.
Yeah, I almost feel the opposite right now. Like, I think I know which is which. I'm not, I haven't yet kind of made up my mind which I prefer. I because I tend to, like I said at the top, I tend to prefer, I think, more of that 7 to 9 year, like not quite as oaky. Now, it could be flipped, right? We've all been wrong before.
Yeah, could it could completely could be.
I keep going back to number one. Like, that's, that one's more pleasing to me.
It has like these, I know you like to use the word bright, but to me, it has more fruits, like that dark fruit. I'll call it dark.
What's a dark fruit?
Cherries.
Oh.
Like, you know, those are like dark cherries, you know. I get some fruity tones, like, you know, if you, once you kind of work through the
oak, I agree.
Which is a little different than the number two, which is more that classic vanilla, caramel, and brown sugar, right?
Yeah.
Well, let me say this. I don't care which one the Booker's is.
Yeah.
Booker's is damn good. I mean, it's really good.
No,
and,
I yeah.
And that the 2024 01, and then whichever one, both of these are phenomenal.
Yeah.
And you go back to the fact sheet that you, and I'm going to put this on our social media too, because it's so well done. There's as many, I mean, there, you know, the Booker's, it's batch. Is George T. Stagg batch also?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, so you're looking at almost the same number of barrels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're now, they're probably
not doing it as often. Yeah. Right.
Not doing as often. Right. And there's probably, because the George T. Stagg is older, there's probably more evaporation, a lot more evaporation probably. So there's not as many bottles, but you're looking at 300 to 400 barrels on the Booker's and 284 barrels on the George T. Stagg.
Yeah. So there was a 51% evaporation
on the Stagg.
On
right?
The Stagg.
Angel share.
And
money up in the air.
They don't disclose the, on the Booker's, but they say it can range up to, you know, 51%.
Well, it's at a higher floor.
Depends
it's
on
hotter.
It depends on the barrels they're picking.
But not age as long.
Remember, it's at least, they're taking at least, in this case, 7 years and 4 months, and at least that old. So they're,
yeah, it could be older. Should be
older
stuff.
Barrels in there too. And so they're going to have more bottles released, even quarterly than they would annually, even though they may be similar barrels. You have so much evaporation, right?
Yeah.
And the Stagg that it really winds up limiting it. So I was trying to, you know, if you do the math on it, it's probably about 8 or 10,000 bottles that year.
Yeah.
Of Stagg. That's a lot of bottles.
Yeah. Yeah. And they used to tell you.
Yeah.
Right. How far and back was that?
This one, they do disclose.
Oh, yeah. You said the number, but yeah. So you kind of know. I'll tell you this.
It's 18.
To me, this double barrel is splitting hairs as much as we've had to. Not really that they taste exactly the same, but they're both so good. You know, like when we did, the rye, I felt like there was a clear kind of winner in my mind. This reminds me more of the Pappy 15 versus the Makers.
Where I agree,
these are both so good. Like, they're different, but they're so good. That's how I feel about this. Like, these are different whiskeys, but gosh, I'd be very happy.
On the nose, I think one for me, is better.
On the nose, one
is better, and taste for my preference.
Yeah, you're on one.
I pick number one.
Yeah.
I bet you, though, if number two is the one we just opened, that was poured for us, and it needs a little time to open the nose to open up, I wonder if you thimbled at some point some water.
Well,
you might get a little more.
Boom.
Yeah.
Could open it right up. Oh, yeah.
Well,
like, just a drop.
I'm but never going to turn down a pour of either one of these.
If you're going to do it, you would want to do like a, like literally
just a little dropper,
a thimble of both on both of them just to see what it does. But they're both very good. Yeah.
All right. So I pick number one.
What are you leaning towards, number one?
Yeah, I really, I'm going to, let me go ahead and one more drink on number one. I don't care if this is a Booker's.
Yeah, I don't even.
Or if it's a Stagg, that number one's.
I'm with you guys. Like, number two, the sweeter, brighter flavors do attract me. But man, that number one, it's like the complexity. I agree. I'm with you.
Yeah, it's like layers and layers and waves of it. And which is why we picked the lower proof, younger, like that got the double gold medal, right? A Stagg.
I got to tell you, Joe, this was, of all the double barrels, this was probably the closest one as far as, I mean, proof, resin, everything is so close. just the age is different.
Right.
But the floors are different. So I honestly do not know which is which.
Yeah. And the floor, the higher floor would have a tendency to produce a little bit of a hotter, right, whiskey.
But I don't really get hot on either one. Now, the first
I did. But I just did a one and a two. And the finish on two just now to me was like a little hotter. Like a little
Open that envelope. Let's see.
Here we go.
Let's do it. I appreciate it.
The winner, not the winner.
The
number one is number two.
Yeah. Number one Stag, number two Booker's.
All right. Well, but Booker's, don't hang your head in shame that's a really good pour.
It's a good release too. And I, you know, there's lots of variations, with both Elijah Craig and Booker's between their, and even with Stag Jr., between the frequent releases, they all have a common flavor profile, which is why on the website they'll literally make, you know, for the relative website, one description to for the tasting notes to describe every release, right?
Yeah,
it's a common, because it should produce those things, but there are some variations between them, and but there are, you know, the common like profile is going to be very similar.
So first time we've all three picked the same one, and we've picked
the allocated,
which is pretty interesting, because
the Larceny Barrel Proof, didn't we pick that one unanimously over the?
Yeah, but that wasn't the allocated.
That wasn't the
allocated. We picked the allocated.
Oh yes.
Plus, consistent.
This is the
The first two we unanimously picked the non-allocated.
You know what might have been is Joe, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Stag Junior, what's formerly Stag Junior. If we had put a Stag Junior against that Booker's, I mean, is the recipe different? I know we can pick whatever.
That would have been perfect like this. It's the Stag Junior is the young version of the Stag. But the thing is then Stag Junior allocated? It's getting there, right?
Oh, Stag Junior's allocated.
It's getting there, but I still think this is more interesting because it's like a super allocated. I'm just much older.
I think if we had put Stag Junior against the Booker's, I think I would have picked the Booker's.
Yeah.
Although Stag Junior
is so good. Yeah, I don't even know. No, honestly.
I mean, it probably depends on which batch we picked.
Well, and you could probably put that up against like a really choice Knob Creek bourbon, you know.
Well, do you remember we did the one night we did.
And that would be pretty good.
We did the two 22A and 22B Stag Junior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we did Elijah Craig. And we were both like, these stags are incredible. And then I drank the Elijah Craig. Night. And
That one. Oh.
We did Elijah Craig. And I was like, oh my gosh, Elijah Craig is better.
Yeah.
Like that was insane.
It is.
No, that was like, I mean,
I agree.
You're dealing with such high end.
And you could probably do that. You could take an Elijah Craig against Stag Junior. It'd be interesting. Because Elijah Craig is more, and Knob Creek, we could do like a three-way, a triple barrel.
Oh God, here we go.
We could do literally.
Have to spend the night.
We could do.
I'm gonna Uber.
I mean, think about the first one we do, and it would be very similar, which would be Stag Junior, you know, Knob, you know, bourbon.
Yeah.
Like get a good one, like a 10 or 12 year old, and Elijah Craig barrel proof, because the Knob's going to be at 120. I mean, it would be. The single barrels.
Yeah.
I got to tell you that I love the interviews. I love, you know, chatting with people, but double barrel is fun. And it really puts you on the spot because, you know, I admit I'm an idiot. I don't know much about anything. And I come in here and try these folks at home. You've got to do this. Like seriously do a blind and see if you can pick the allocated versus non-allocated because they're usually both so good. I mean, you pair an allocated versus, you know, some trash whiskey, it won't be close. But Booker's versus George T. Stag, that's honestly as close as I was able to pick the Pappy 15.
Yeah.
I thought I knew which one, but I didn't. I really do try not to let that influence what I'm picking.
Right.
Like, I knew the Pappy 15.
Well, but one we like the best.
Yeah.
That's the point. I still think, you know, not everybody's pockets are lined with gold. And so, Ben's drinking good whiskey all the time. Like, really.
That's not true.
Really good freaking whiskey.
To me, an Old Forester 1910 is really good whiskey. I love it.
I drink
20.
What I mean is the allocated whiskeys,
which
you have a propensity to have open, which is awesome, Ben.
Yeah. Well,
I should open mine. You open them.
Yeah.
And so if you're drinking a lot of allocated whiskey, you know, your palate is going to be certainly trained.
My palate is not trained, though.
But if you
not.
But you picked. You have done an amazing, like, if you look at all of our picks,
he's good.
Everyone except for the Larceny Barrel Proof, you were like, you knew right away, like, okay.
What do we pair no, we all, first name Barrel Proof against?
Old Rep.
The 10, yeah.
Yeah. The old,
the 10 year.
Yeah. Happy 10.
That was the only one that you didn't pick the allocate.
Yeah, but I would argue like that
was hard to beat. I mean, that's, that
I don't mean that.
Whiskey of the year.
I mean that in a good way. Yeah. Like, if
so, and I know we've got, you know, we've got Preston Van Winkle coming.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait.
To me, Old Rip 10 is just okay.
I know.
It's just okay. Now you get to Lot B, you get to Pappy 15 in particular. Pappy 20 is, I mean, it's now 23 is a little over the top for me. And I've only had it maybe two or three times and never, you know, in like volume. I just have a sip. 15 is one of the best that I've had, but, you know, Pappy Old Rip 10 or Pappy 10 is just okay.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I got to bring up because I'm always the guy that does value. So think about these two as tight as we call them, the Stag. And I love Stag. Again, I started with like, if you ask me my favorite allocated whiskey, it's Stag. It's 10x the price of the Booker's.
I agree. If you're looking at value, it's not even close.
But that's why I think if you made it this far into the podcast, you probably know where in your town or a city you visit, you can find high-end whiskey, at least at a bar.
Yeah.
Go do this at a bar. Like, well, just ask a bartender, like, pour me this and this and don't tell me which is which.
I'm looking at Ben's glasses and what did he finish first? And these are two-finger pours, the Booker's.
Yeah, I know. I'm about to finish the
Booker's. And I've been hitting the Booker's. I was just going to ask you like to hit it out. Like, it gets better.
Joe, I honestly think if we had put the George T. Stagg against the Booker's 2024-01, it would have been a different result. It's the age is a little.
There was something in that release.
Well, I do think.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's something different about that release. Yeah.
I recognize we should probably wrap this up. However, the age, I think a lot of this comes down to age, right? This is phenomenal juice, both whiskeys. Do you prefer, like, I tend to prefer younger. And
you're 6 to 8 years, right?
6 to 8 years, right? And so I picked the Stag. I really thought that was like complex. And, it, you know, in hindsight, I picked the Stag. I didn't know at the time, but still, like, I think some of it comes down to what do you prefer kind of on flavor profile?
Well, let's go down the Jimmy Russell road. Jimmy Russell likes those, you know, Russells that are in that 8 year range.
Yeah.
You know, you go a little bit older, it's Eddie. You go older, you go to Bruce.
My gosh, that Russell's 13.
But that is his sweet spot. Like, you know,
I got one open up there.
The Russell's 13 is still good. I haven't opened mine yet. And, I need to.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good.
But honestly, every Russell's that I mean, I don't care if it's the 10 or the 13, they're phenomenal.
Yeah.
And particularly when you get into barrel picks, like the barrel that you pick, Joe, on the Russell's.
Yeah.
A couple as ones. Many as I can get, good. I will get.
Yeah.
This is a really nice Booker's, and I really like to let that open up for a couple of days.
Now I feel like maybe we should have. I almost feel like it was unfair.
Let's run it back.
Well, it was unfair on the nose.
It was unfair on the nose. You're right.
Because you've had something open 6 months, and there's a lot of oxygen in there. And but the bottom line is that Booker's, you can drink it. It's one of their highest proofs, one of their oldest. Purposely picked it to run up against this one, and it's standing up really good right now.
Yeah.
Like, after we've had a lot to drink, you can actually hammer this thing for a good night.
They're both fantastic.
You know what? Don't turn down a pour of either one of these.
No,
I think that's the moral of the story. So you know, George T. Stagg, 2018, unanimous decision, but Booker's
it was close.
Don't sleep on Booker's.
Don't sleep
on Booker's. If you see it. MSRP,
buy it.
10, 20 bucks more, get it.
Just buy it.
Everything. It is so, so good.
Yeah, and it's give it some time to aerate. That's all I will say there.
All right. I will do that. Maybe we'll come back a year from now and do this again and see if it's a different result.
Or just like a week. Like right now. Like
nobody wants to listen a second time.
Well, and speaking of that, thank you guys for listening.
Yeah,
I mean, we have thousands and thousands of weekly subscribers, and we appreciate it so much. You know, we crack the top 10 twice this week. Every day I get the rankings. We hit the top 10. We're ranking in Canada right now. Thank you, Canada, for listening. We appreciate you guys. We are humbled and blessed. We appreciate you.
Absolutely.
And if people are listening still at the end of this, if you think the storytelling and the intros are too much,
no,
no,
Joe,
don't
number one compliment
that.
We get.
Let me know.
Let me show,
because I'm trying to hold back, but it's not easy.
People love the history.
Yeah,
people love the
fantastic
stories, and we get more emails about Joe's introduction of the whiskey than anything else.
Well, you know,
other than me saying ethanol instead of ethanol.
Yeah. Well,
I get some emails.
I know.
About that.
I know. I don't know.
If you know anything about the three
I got
of
about
us,
a dozen of those.
Yeah, if you know anything about the three of us, it's so important. Like the story is 1/3 of the.
Yeah, oh, it's a balance.
Always.
We're a balance, buddy.
Always.
It is 1/3 of the whole experience. Knowing what are you drinking, right? It's not just like good or bad, thumbs up.
Yeah.
It goes beyond that. And that reminds
me, it's so much more. The story is everything.
Yeah, it goes back to the cowboy bourbon. We fell in love with that story. And so when we finally got a chance and fell in love with that interview and then with the juice.
Yeah.
Across the board. It was an easy pick.
I opened mine. Anyway, we're not going to go.
I've got mine open right now.
We need to wrap it up.
Well, people can tune in. They're not paying by the minute.
Yeah.
That's right. By now, they can tune out if they want.
That's right. Hey, thanks everybody for tuning in. Appreciate you. Let's get